there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Okay, I'm there with that. I got that part down. Yeah, John was great. But, there's that word but. He who is least in the kingdom. I said, okay, God, now you're talking about me. And I've got that. I'm there with you on that. It's the next part that I can't seem to get my arms around. He said, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. When you and I read that, that when you and I have surrendered our life to Christ, and we come into this kingdom, God says, you're even greater than John the Baptist. And you may not be feeling so great this morning. Sometimes burdens weigh us down. Sometimes our past clouds our present, and we dismiss our future. Because to surpass the greatness of John, all you have to do is be born again. And I still have problems with that. Because I still don't feel that great. I mean, I'm thankful today for all that God has done for me. I'm thankful that I have my health and I have wonderful family and friends. But come on, y'all. When you start calling me great, I'm going to blush. I'm going to feel like you've talked about somebody else. Surely the other preacher who can preach much better than I, who can reach out and build a much bigger ministry than I. The other guy who could be a much better father. You see, we have difficulty with embracing the greatness that God has afforded to you and I. So I've titled this message, Not So Great. I'm not feeling so great. But that doesn't change the word that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I want to talk for a few moments this morning about the greatness that's inside of you. Great means this: understanding significance or importance, superiority, being powerful, being influential. So when we begin to discuss being great, God lays those kinds of claims on us that we're superior, we're significant, we're important, we're influential, we're powerful. And that is so difficult to get in the minds of so many people today. Because of our past, because of what we carry, we've gotten so used to becoming inferior and living under that mentality that greatness to attain is like out of the question. There's no way that I could ever be great. But I pray within the next 30 or so minutes that you and I will embrace the greatness that God has given us and has made us to be through Christ our Lord. You see, it's impossible to embrace the great when we hold on to the rubbish of our past. Someone once said, good, better, and best, never let it rest till good turns to better and better turns to great. You see, I want to be great. I've got a new aspiration of my life. I don't want to settle for mediocrity. I don't want to be nominal. I don't want to be predictable. I don't want to fit in anybody's religious box. I'm going for the great. I'm going for the best that I can possibly be in God. And I finally figured that out. That's not that difficult to attain if I can just let go of the past and the rubbish that I've been carrying along with me. For some reason, we feel like we must carry all of our burdens with us. Because that really is who we are. It has made us to be less than powerful, significant, influential. It has determined our person. It has defined our lives. You see, all of our failures have defined who we really are. Matter of fact, if we laid all those things down, we would know who we are. We'd have to look in the mirror and go, who's that great looking guy? Who is that great person? We have adjusted to life as inferior people. Undeserving. We have adjusted to life as insignificant, as those who can't make contribution. But in Numbers chapter 33, Israel leaves Egypt, goes into the wilderness, and for the next 40 years visits various cities. And if you'll look in that chapter with me, you'll find 41 times, and they moved, and they departed, and they left. And boy, did that jump out at me. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to leave some stuff. You need to depart from that kind of thinking. You need to move on from that bad experience. And I said, God, you know, I've been trying for nearly 58 years to do that. Amen. And you know, I'm having difficulty with that because not so great, God, not so much. I don't feel like I can. And he said, listen. I've come for the purpose of taking those burdens off of you in order to release you to your greatness. And so inside every man, woman, boy, and girl this morning, lying dormant is the seed of the kingdom with the life of the King inside of it. Listen, it's only our past failures and the rubbish of our past that we carry along with us that's preventing the germination of the kingdom seed that's lying dormant within us. But let me tell you something, the King is still alive in the seed. And if we can just get the seed in the soil of faith and beyond the garbage of that which is prevented from being planted in our life, we can see the fruit of the kingdom of God in every one of us. I don't care how many fifths of whiskey you've downed, or how many times you've snorted, or how many times you've shot up, or how many sexual partners you've had. It really doesn't matter. That doesn't negate the potential of the kingdom of God inside of your life, that God has greatness in you. It might be lying dormant, but it's in there. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are great. The word departed means to separate. So we've got to separate ourselves from some things. Some things that many of us have been carrying for a long time. Memories and thoughts. We've succumbed to them. We've allowed them to define ourselves. We operate under their jurisdiction. Perceptions, opinions of other people, religion, our experiences in church. All of these things have become burdensome to the greatness in you and me. And Jesus wants us to be free today. It's time to let it go. Say that with me. Let it go. You see, to let go means to let God. Have you heard that before? Well, that means to allow His rule to have predominance in our life. Many of us have to get through the forgiveness issue because forgiveness means letting go of the past. And it's not necessarily talking about forgiving other people. I mean, we struggle there, but most of us, if you've been in the church any length of time, you can get through that. You finally find a place to forgive them. The problem, the difficulty, the challenge is, can you forgive yourself for your failings? Can you forgive yourself when you said you won't do it again, and guess what? You did it again. Can you forgive yourself? Can you go beyond your failings? Let me just make an announcement. This is going to come to a shock, be a shock to some of you, but I'm going to make it anyway. Are you ready? I am not a perfect pastor. Oh, you're not so shocked. And guess what? This is not a perfect congregation. There is not one person in here who has reached perfection. Every one of us are a work in progress. But you see, what we concentrate on is all of the negative, and we fail to concentrate on all the greatness that God has deposited in us. We're still living under the influence of the rubbish rather than living under the influence of the greatness. I didn't call us great. Jesus said that. So he must see something in you. You're not disqualified. You're not inferior. You're not a mess. You're not a disappointment. I don't care what parents have said or others have said. God looks at you and he looks at me as being great in the kingdom of God. So we need to let go. And some of us have to let go of some pretty heavy stuff, like relationships. We need to let go. They're destructive. Maybe obsessions. We need to let go of compulsions or materialism or greed. Maybe we need to let go of envy or attitudes or bias or judgments or fear or guilt or whatever. We need to learn today that I'm letting go of it. I'm going to depart from it. It no longer has a claim on my life. Now let me warn you, the moment you let go of it, there will be people reminding you that you left it behind. And you need to come back and pick this up. Isn't this your bag? It's sort of like at the airport, you know, especially when you come into church. They tell you, at all times, keep your bags with you. Well, I'm going to reverse that. I'm telling you today, when you come into the kingdom of God, put your bags down and walk away from them. Don't keep them with you. Don't carry them with you. Don't go back and get them. I don't care how many people tell you. And we have this tendency to want to carry what we've been carrying around all of our life. So really, in order to embrace greatness, we've got to let go of the past. Letting go can also mean permitting a movement or a change in our life. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 60, "Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Arise, change your position, change your mentality, change your thinking. I believe that God is posturing the church in this hour to become instrumental in the recovery of nations. I believe that it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a tea party, coffee party, orange juice party, Republican party, Democratic party, without God, without the greatness of God emerging in the church, there will be no solutions. Man will continue to chase his tail in a circle. And all the while, God is waiting for this seed to germinate within you and me. Greatness. You see, I believe we can begin to take over the social programs of our community. I believe we can buy houses, fix them up, and sell them to our members for our cost. I believe we could take a man or a woman who had no social skill, no childhood background, no parenting skill. I believe we can come into the house of God, acquire all those things, and become a productive member of the community in which they live. I believe we as a church can be going to families and saying, look, you don't have to go down to welfare and stand in a line. Just come on over to the church. Get it, become a member of the house of God. Start contributing your tithe. Let's believe God. We sang it this morning. Let's believe God. And there will be no member that the church has to refer to the social services of a government. But the government will begin to refer their needs to the church. That's the kind of greatness I'm talking about. I'm talking about the greatness of a local church in a community where the banks, you don't have to go to the bank. The banks make an appointment and come to us. We're not looking for a bailout. They are. And the bailout that they're looking for will come from the house of God. I want banks competing over our deposits. Because God's finally raised up a people who believe in the biblical economics of His kingdom. We don't borrow, we lend. We fix things. We don't ask for help. We offer help. We have a couple of cargo planes in a hangar somewhere. We've got a warehouse full of 1,000,000 pounds of food that can be distributed at a moment's notice when crises hits this world. We have cots and beds and more than 10,000 bottles of water, but we have millions. Greatness. Luke chapter 13 and verse 10, he was teaching, Jesus speaking of him, of this, one of the synagogues. And there was a woman there with a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over, and no one could raise herself and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her and he said to her, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh my goodness, that's the ministry of the church. People come into the house of God bent over. People go to work every morning bent over. People try to raise their kids bent over. Try to relate to their spouse bent over, by the way. The marriage conference, I will answer the question that has been asked for centuries. Are you ready? What is it that women want? I have found the answer. Bent over with marriage problems, bent over with financial problems. And the greatness of God through the person of Jesus Christ said, "Woman, thou art loosed." It is the duty of the house of God to raise people up from out from under the burdens of life. There is no burden greater than the God that you and I serve. I said some months ago, you'll never face a problem bigger than the God that you're serving. And you and I will never have to carry a burden that's too big and too heavy for the arms, the strong arm of God who's extended toward those who believe, who is a burden bearer. Isaiah 10, verse 22 says, it is the anointing. It is the anointing that will lift the burden. It will break the yoke. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, burdens in its own definition means this: something you carry. You know, it's difficult when your arms are full and someone says, "Hey, you got the time?" And you're looking at them like, "Are you stupid or what? How am I supposed to look at my watch?" I'm engaged in carrying this load. Well, it illustrates the fact that when we carry the burdens of our past, no matter what God is asking or saying, we're indisposed. We can't respond. Can't you see I'm carrying this burden? It's sort of that way in the house of God. We need people to come and help with children's church. I would, Pastor, but you know what? This is so heavy, I can't hardly do that. If I put one more thing on my plate, how many times have you said that? How many times have we heard that? We're walking around burdened. We're walking around with heavy loads. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and my burden is light. We ought to be the most carefree people on the planet. We ought to be the people that walk around with the greatest expectation that God is about to show himself strong in every situation that you and I will ever face. We ought to be the people that don't even know what burdens are. We have placed so much distance between our now and our then, we have to think hard to remember what it was like to live under a burden. Sort of like yesterday when I talked to a young man, he said, I'm 20. I said, 20? I can't even remember 20. I barely can get my mind into the realm of 30. That's what God wants for us. But unfortunately, we've built superhighways from our present into our past failures. And they drive at will into our life and detour our destiny. It's time for us to put some distance between our now and our burdens. Their influence prevents us from recognizing our true nature, because we'll begin to define ourselves based on our burdens. We'll define ourselves based on our past, our failures. Why, I just did that this weekend. It sneaks up on you. And it's so common in our life, it's almost second nature. You don't even realize you're doing it. And then you read Matthew 11:11, and Jesus said, even the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Maybe Peter understood something when he wrote 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting, it means to throw it down with energy and even violence. It's like, here, you take it. I don't want it anymore. So it's time for us to begin living it up. It's time to discover what we've been missing. What have I been missing in my marriage? What have I been missing in my ministry? What have I been missing in life? It's time to live it up. Because the burdens have caused us to be so bent over. All we see is where we are. We can't even see where we're going. And we surely can't see where we've come from. We just remember because our focus was on every step we took. It's time for us to be raised up again. It's time for us to embrace the concept that yes, we are world changers. We are culture influencers. We are people with greatness written all over us. We ought to begin looking for the great in everything that we do. God's intent is to draw us to live under the influence of his presence rather than the rubbish of our past. I called a word out on Thursday about Moses being introduced to Jehovah, the revealing one. And God called Moses to Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb really is defined in the Hebrew as fresh inspiration. So God is calling us away from the majority. away from status quo to a place of fresh inspiration. You see, that's where greatness is discovered. It's fresh inspiration. It's where you and God exist alone. And if you're living on yesterday's inspiration or yesterday's revelation, you'll see yourself not so much great. Because we begin being defined and influenced by our failings. Heard a great preacher say yesterday out of Luke chapter 5, it's time to try it again. He was speaking of Peter, who had become exhausted from fishing all night, and Jesus said, go out to the deep and try it again. He enumerated the point to us that many of us are weary. We are tired. We're tired. I'm just barely going to work every day. I'm barely in church this morning. I mean, it was a struggle to get here. I'm just tired. I, matter of fact, have reached a level of professionalism at being tired. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep and cast your nets on the other side. You see, the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us to go to a place of fresh inspiration. To once again go to the deep and expect God to fill our net. I believe this is an hour, church, where we must answer the cry of a culture that has lost their way. They don't know where to go, what to do. They are so confused. I heard a politician last night say that one of the things she feels government needs to do is to have a more reliance on divine intervention. You know how radical that was of a statement? That's not politically correct. That's not commonplace in any party affiliation. To say we need divine intervention? Maybe that was a word not to the government. Maybe that was a word to you and me. Maybe that was a word to the church that we need divine intervention. Maybe your marriage needs God. Maybe your money needs God. Come on. Maybe we need to get fresh inspiration into our life again, coming from heaven. Because undeveloped things in the kingdom still have the life of the King inside them. And I cannot stand back, stand aside and say, oh, you may think that you're saved or as a Christian, but you have no future. That is not true. You may not have germinated the seed, but the seed has been planted. And today I pray the Holy Spirit to begin to clear out the rubbish. Let go of the past. Lay down the burden. And allow God to grow the fruitfulness of His kingdom inside your life and my life, inside of this church, where we as ministries can band together and declare the kingdom of God. Not our own dogmas, not our own styles and our affiliations, our religiosity, how we do things, our exclusivity, but how we impact a community, how we impact a nation. He draws us in order to anchor something in our whole hearts. Until you go to the Mount Horeb, until you get to the place of fresh inspiration, you'll be drifting. I will be drifting by the currents of popular opinion. You see, the drawing of God, the drawing of the Holy Spirit is really an attempt on God's part to anchor the affections of our hearts. Because once He has our affection, He's able to unload the cargo you've been carrying. Acts chapter 13, and I'll finish with this morning, verses 8 to 11. You know the story of the Apostle Paul. If you don't, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a zealot for God. He was murdering Christians. He held the coats of those who stoned Stephen, who was one of the most powerful deacons in the early church. He was on his way to Damascus with a letter of authority given to him to capture anybody who named the name of Jesus and either kill them or arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. On his route, God appeared to him. He got a fresh inspiration of who God was, and it literally changed his entire life. Blinded for 3 days, he was led to go to a teacher and be instructed of the things of the kingdom. Now, called of God, he and a friend of his by the name of Barnabas, the son of encouragement, got together and began preaching the gospel. If you've noticed the early days of Paul, he was referred to as Saul even after his conversion. You see, even after we're converted, we still have reference points from our past. Whether our name, fear, our past habits, it was Barnabas and Saul. He wasn't even a headliner until Acts 13, when Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. See, they were preaching. Barnabas and Saul were preaching the gospel. They were talking about a kingdom. But there was an occultist. There was a spiritual entity working through Elymas who influenced the proconsul, the authority of his day, not to listen to them. And they were being opposed in their forward progress of greatness. Now I know, ladies and gentlemen, every time you have attempted, like me, to reach that place of greatness, something rises up and opposes my progress. And often it's not my distance past, often it's what I did last night. It's my current past. It's how I spoke to my wife in the car on the way to church. It really doesn't matter what it is, but it rises up and it opposes greatness. And Paul, or I should say Saul, had it. And I pray that we get to this place today that we have had it being inferior. We have had it being laughed at by a society that knows not God, by being intimidated by those who say they are educated and know better. Here, go back to my scripture, please. Saul has to face him down. Say that with me. Face it down. Sometime you're just going to have to face it down. And Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Now just feel me on this for a minute. Keep that scripture up there. Go back. Saul faced that which was opposing him. When your memories of your past failures begin to oppose the progress of your present greatness and the pursuit of your destiny and your future, you need to face it down. Because it has its seat in the kingdom of darkness. And Saul said, "You are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" This is what happens to you and me. And after that encounter, he's never referred to as Saul again. It is Paul. Oh, and it's never Barnabas and Paul. It's now Paul and Barnabas. His courage to face down what was preventing his progress in the kingdom launched him into the greatness of God's purpose for his life. And you and I are going to have to face it down, whatever it is that's making you feel inferior. Because Jesus Christ has paid that price. And you are great in the eyes of God today. Greatness in you is waiting for an atmospheric shift. And some of us, leave that up, are waiting for this atmospheric shift to be created by the preacher. You want me to pray it off of you, counsel it off of you, shout it off of you. And I believe greatness in you is waiting for this atmospheric shift to take place, not through me, but through you. You create the atmosphere of courage to stand down the enemy that's been opposing you, to embrace the greatness that God has given you. So my cry today, God, change Church on the North Coast. You know, every once in a while, I still hear people say, "Yeah, that's a pretty good church. Nah, it's not good enough for me." Until you can't say it's a great church, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. "Yeah, he's a good pastor." No. He's a great pastor. Not in what I can do, not in what you can do, but in the fact that we've embraced what God has done for us. "Oh, we've got a pretty good marriage." No, baby. We've got a great marriage. Because I understand it's time for me to face down what's been opposing me. And that's my prayer for you today. If the sun refuses to shine tomorrow, nothing to do with how great you are. Because we're serving a great God. Come on, church. Let's change a city. Let's build an infrastructure of hope in this community. Why are we waiting on public officials when they have no greatness in them unless they have Christ? We are the ones who can do this. And it begins with every person getting committed to the cause of Christ. Your commitment, my commitment, and a lot of the times, it's seen through your wallet. I'm still persuaded that if every man, woman, boy and girl tithe their income, this is incredible. Taxes have increased in America. How many expected that to happen? Let me see your hand. God has not increased the 10%. must be enough. Help me understand how it is you're comfortable not giving God His tithe. Help me. How are you comfortable spending what's not yours? It is God's plan that every church, but let's just talk about home, that this church have more than enough. I can hardly wait for the day when people catch the vision of greatness. We start going down through the city buying houses. And we restore them and give them to families that need them. Woohoo! Look, the media will blitz a local church for everything you do wrong. But they cannot argue when you start doing things right. Instead of asking for donations, wouldn't it be awesome? We start giving donations. We write a check for the new playground for $200,000. We pay for the renovation of the new baseball field in the city park. When they had no funds to open up the pools, the church says, we'll be there, but you've got to let our people run them. Greatness. Can you even get your hands around that? Huh? Can you do it? Can you begin to believe for greatness? Can you believe waking up in the morning and going, my God, I can't really wait till I see her. She's the love of my life. She's the cream in my coffee. She's the butter on my bread. Huh? Can you hardly wait to get to that point in your life? It's in you. All you've got to do, let go of the past and let God. Close your eyes with me for a moment. I'm going to ask now that we go to the table of the Lord and we lay it down there and let's pick up the greatness of Jesus.
I believe today. Today is the day when the seed of greatness inside of every one of us will be conceived and bring forth greatness. The funny thing about the woman who was bent over is that what the enemy wanted her to do, what the enemy wanted to get her focus on, was all of the dust and the rocks. So he kept her bent over. So all she could see was dust and rocks. That's all she could see. All she could see was the curse. All she knew was the curse. I noticed when I was making my way up the mountain in Moab, that the angle of the mountain was so severe that as I walked up it, I had to lean forward. And pretty soon, as I leaned forward, I was looking straight up. And all I could see was the top. But I had to lean forward as much as I could because the angle was so severe. I was almost crawling at times as I made my way to the top. I began to see God's goodness and God's blessing. Today, as a family, as a church family, let's receive the greatness of our Lord. He hung on a cross that was stabbed into the earth. And for once and for all, He took away the keys of the curse, sickness, and death. Doesn't matter what happened in your life. Doesn't matter how many times you failed. As I began to preach in Haiti, I said, it doesn't matter how much the government says this ground belongs to the devil. What Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, doesn't matter what man says it. Doesn't matter what mistake was made. Does not matter what man said. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. The price that was paid upon the hill of Calvary reverses every curse that was ever placed upon your life and my life. Every mistake, every failure, every dumb thing, every lie, every curse. The body that was sown into the earth for you and me erases it all. We stand before the King, complete and whole, brand new. God, do with me what you want. If that's your cry today, why don't you take that bread in your hand? Why don't you lift it up? Why don't you stand up right now, church? Why don't you lift up your head to the King of all glory, who sowed himself into the earth for you and me, that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for the body that was broken for me. I receive it today and I say thank you. I remember the price that was paid and I refuse to dishonor that price today by living beneath glory. I will live in glory. I will walk in glory with you. You are the King of all glory and I partake in that glory with you today. In Jesus' name, let us take together. Hallelujah. Now I'll just begin to worship Him. I was traveling down the road in Haiti and we came up on this. We heard some noise and we came up on these people. They had constructed a tent amidst all the rubble. And they began to praise Jesus. They were singing, Jesus is with us. Come on, we have a reason to sing this morning. We have a reason to praise this morning. I could hardly wait to get here. I said, God, I'm ready to have church. I'm ready to go home and have church. I'm ready to thank you, God. Why don't you lift your hands and just begin to thank Him. God, we're so thankful today. You are worthy. You are worthy today. And we sing your praises. Take that cup in your hand, church. It is the blood of Jesus that sets us free. Come on, it's the blood of Jesus that gives us freedom. We thank you today, Jesus, for every drop that was spilled. I remember when I wasn't saved, Lord, when I was hopeless and lost, didn't know you, but you knew me. So I thank you. I receive today this cup. Hallelujah. Jesus is good, church. I believe He wants to fill the house with His glory. Not sure what you're facing today. Not sure what lies being whispered in your ear today. But I know the answer is in His presence. So as we conclude today, why don't we just conclude by having church. Altar ministers, if you'll come. Quickly, altar ministers, if you'll come. Ushers, if you can man yourself at the doors now. On the way out, don't forget your tithe and your offering to the house. It's how we set up the kingdom in the community, amen. If you need prayer today, I invite you to come. Or just like me, today, I just want to have church. And so, I'm just going to spend some time in His presence. Maybe that's you. Wherever you are, all across this room, why don't you begin to make your way forward if you need prayer? If you need healing in your body, the kingdom is near today. If you need healing in your marriage, the kingdom is near today. If your children are in need today, the kingdom is near today. Live right. Love everybody and pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let Jesus talk through you. Join us on Facebook if you haven't already. Join us on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you this Thursday. Bring a friend. God bless you. The altars are open.